Tess. Okay, we're gonna open this service in prayer, so if you folks would just join us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather here, and we thank you for our guests, and we ask that you would bless everyone here today as the word is brought forth, and as we sing and praise, and we invite you, Holy Spirit, you are so welcome to be here with us. We can't wait for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. I invite everyone to stand up for the reading of the word, please. Thank you. Reading of the word is from Psalm 31, verses 1 to 5. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Yes. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth.
Please remain standing as we're going to lift him up. And what I just want to start, the first song I want to start out with is just that, in whatever way you want to do it, but we're going to place him in the highest place. We're going to place him in the highest place of our mind. Yeah. Whatever we're thinking about right now, that can't be above him. So that's what this song is just going to usher him in our hearts. In our hearts, we're going to place him in the highest place.
Yeah. We place you in the highest place for you.
I ask, Lord God, that only you can speak to him, Lord God. place, Lord God, that is uncontrollable, Lord God, that is going to set a fire deep down in his soul, Lord God, that, Lord God, that is just going to consume him, Lord God, that today is going to be a new day, that today is going to be something different, Lord God, and Lord God, that's going to be you, Lord God, in his life, Lord God. Restoration, Father, I ask that you would restore the years of the cankerworm and the pungworm of Aid in his life. Father, we plead that over here in his life. God, we thank you in Jesus' name.
Yes, God.
Yes, God. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
And Lord God, I lift up Jeff. Lord God, I ask and pray that you will give Jeff the words to speak.
Yes.
I thank you that Jeremiah is an extension of your love, Lord God. May he feel you, not Jeff. May he feel that Jeff is just an instrument of wrestling in his pilot's shelter. Lord God, I pray that Daniel will open, Lord God, to you, Lord God. You are the one that he needs, Lord God. You are the hope, Lord God. May he know you in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord God.
As we were worshiping this morning, I just sensed God's love, a strong, powerful love for everyone here. And I'm sensing that's why he left. It's hard to stand in God's love. I remember when I accepted salvation, I was like in a dark cave, a nice, comfortable, dark cave. And I came out into the light of God's love, and it hurt, it really hurt. So I ran back into the cave. But God continued to draw me out, so I could stand in the light of God's love.
I thank you, Lord God, for forgiveness more and more and more from Carl. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. So, but in this, I want to share about how I brought Teen Challenge. See, our God is so awesome, right? Y'all know my testimony, and I had, well, at least most of it or whatever, or parts of it or all of it, but Pastor Evelyn Jones is on the National Day of Prayer team of planning team for Tucson. I met her and she had a fundraiser, so she asked me to come. She saw my A Woman of the Truth Ministries card and asked a little bit about my testimony. So I shared, and she goes, Karen, I want people to hear about your testimony. So I shared a brief testimony at this fundraiser that she had. And what was really neat about this fundraiser that she had at Reed Park was, you know how you have Make-A-Wish Foundation for those that are cancer victims and to be able to go to Disneyland. But she was having a fundraiser for those kids that are down and out, like in an orphanage-type like home. And they still would love to have something nice happen. And so she was having a fundraiser to help with that. And Brother James was there and some of the Teen Challenge team. And that's where I met him, and my husband and I were like, wow, did you hear that testimony? And we were like so impacted too by this, get the whole thing that he did. And we were like, wow. And so Brother James came up to me afterwards, because I think he saw me, you know, worshiping, like I couldn't, I mean, it was great music. There was great worship. And so anyways, but it was just so awesome. And so we just, you know, and I was thanking him and for what he had shared and the skit and everything. And then we exchanged information. And so one thing led to another to be able to have him here. So, Brother James, please come up. I'm so excited that you came. And apologies once again for the 21st long day. Thank you, Brother James. Thank you.
I don't really need this.
Over-recording. Can we do it? It's
no
for
problem.
Recording purposes, but okay. Your sound guy already got mad at me.
No problem.
It's a loving
Hello.
Man. It's a loving man.
Okay. No problem. I'm not used to these things because I already have a loud voice as it is, so if it goes bow, I'm sorry. But I'm sorry, also, please forgive me for the way that I am dressed. It's for the skit. I believe that this thing right here is holy. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separated. Do not touch what is unclean. Then you will become my sons and my daughters. And so I have to strongly to ask for your forgiveness. But praise God, we serve a God of grace. We serve a God of love. And however forth we bring forth the message, God honors that. And Paul, it says, you know what I mean? To those that are a Jew, I became a Jew. To those that became a Greek, I became a Greek. And so on and so on. So he puts people in our lives so that we can reach those type of people. And we conform to that type of image. Not conforming to the way that they do things, but just the relationship of how we can minister the word of God. I represent Team Challenge, located in between Miracle Mile and Grant off of Oracle Road. I'm part of the public relations team. I'm a graduate of the program in 2002. I have to do this little commercial, you know, but but the program started in 1965 by a guy named David Wilkerson, crossing a switchblade. I personally wish that they would still do what they did in the book, pray over the students, speaking in tongues, healing and things like that, because I still believe that that consists to this day.
Amen.
In the book of Acts. But things change due because the law and things like that. But we have a new facility, not a new facility, but a new structure called the Grace Phase, which is awesome. It's you choose to be in Team Challenge. It's your choice to stay. You know, it's just like consequences. We have good consequences, and there's also bad consequences. But like I said, Team Challenge, I'm starting in 1965 by a guy named David Wilkerson and also Nikki Cruz. We have a thrift store at that facility now that just opened. Feel free to come by. It's one of our ways of fundraising. Door-to-door is one of the ways that we knock on a door. Somebody probably knocked at your door before, even at this door. They would still hike all the way up here to knock on this door. We don't know what's going on in this house. You know, it might bless the students and it might bless us. You know, God's will be done. And enough of that little commercial. You know, you guys, most of us all heard about Teen Challenge and know about Teen Challenge. I have this skit, but I first want to tell you of a story. I call this little sermon, this little talk about, it's called the Season of Decision. We all have the season of decision. We all have seasons in our lives that, I mean, we have decisions in our lives which consist of seasons that, whether good or bad, you know, we have a storm in our life that we don't want to be pulled out the storm because we got to don't go through it, we got to grow through it. And so I'm going to tell you this story, and let me just pray, okay, first, and know that he is on the throne and we're not. Recognize him as Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Recognize him as Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, because we know that our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. We know that he is El Shaddai. We also know him as a jealous God, El Kana. We also know him as Father. We also know him as Jesus, Holy Spirit, Comforter, Wonderful Counselor. We also know him as Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And Lord God, we just thank you that you're on the throne and we're not. May we hide ourselves, Father, behind the cross, Lord God. Father, as it says in John chapter 3, verse 30, Lord God, may we decrease and you increase in our life, Father. It's not about, Father, what you can do for us, but what can we do for you to enhance and to advance the kingdom of God? Yeah. Father, we thank you that you're on the throne and we're not. Father, we take ourselves off the throne. We put you on the throne, Father. We magnify you, Lord God, and we glorify you, Lord God. Father, have your way in this house, Lord God. Father, for my student that's outside, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that again, Lord God, soften the heart, Lord God. Father, what's taking place, Lord God, is something magnificent, Lord God. And Father, I just ask that he would get a grip on it, Lord. And yeah. we just thank you, Lord God, to have your way. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord God.
Yes,
in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
See, what's taking place right now is like I always say this analogy in Teen Challenge to some of the students that we're in a Holy Ghost hospital on Oracle. Okay? We're placed on this operating table and the Holy Spirit is our anesthesia. Jesus is the doctor. And Father is just watching through the whole thing because they all work together as one, the deity of Christ. And so Jesus, the doctor, gets this little knife. What is that called? The
scalpel,
right? And he cuts you open. And there ain't no drugs. There ain't no alcohol. There's nothing that, no pills. You know what I mean? No methadone, no Vicodin, you name it. Whatever these students take, there's none of that to numb them. So it hurts. And that's what we're seeing that's taking place right now. There's no anesthesia, so they're cutting them open. And that hurts. You know? Then he has to get past the ribs in order to get to the heart. So he breaks that rib. He breaks that rib. And when he breaks that rib, you know what I mean? Again, there's no Percocet. There's no Vicodin. So it's going to hurt again. That's another phase. And then after that, he gets to that heart. He looks at that heart and he's gentle with it. But the heart is deceitful above all things, the Bible says. So he knows the condition of the heart, and he grabs it. And out of that comes anger, frustration, jealousy, malice, cuss words. You know, and sometimes as a student, as myself, I'd get myself off of that table and walk around. Oh, I'm out of here. I'm gone. And not letting the Holy Spirit do his work. So we have to let him do his work. Pull that out. But then he'll pull in that Galatians. Love, peace, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering. Replacing it with anger, frustration, all of that stuff, the works of the flesh. He's doing a work there. Then he pulls it, he replaces it, puts it back together. You know, staples, stitches, whatever, the Holy Ghost, a bandage, bam. You know what I mean? Isaiah 53:5, that by his stripes you are healed. But it's a process. You know? Let's just walk around, we're healed. There's the joy of the Lord. Yeah, let's dance like David danced. Let's just get on fire. You know what I mean? We're just on fire with the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then he does it again. He does it again, but this time it's a little bit more comforting. A little bit more. And so that's a good analogy. I always use it to when students are doing it. And then in Isaiah 53:5, that all have went astray like a sheep. Jesus would leave that 99 group to get that one. But when he gets that one, he's going to break those legs. If you ever, I don't know, we lived on a farm. My mentor told me this, so I tell what I learn. And so you break the legs of all the legs of the sheep, so it's broken. He longs for a broken and contrite spirit, throws it over his shoulder, and he takes it home. But through that brokenness, he remembers, man, Jesus just broke my legs. He just broke my arms. Jesus just did this, but then also takes him inside the home, separates him still from the 99 one, and puts a bottle in his mouth, rocks him, holds him, bandages those legs up, loves and nurtures. That's where that grace comes in. And soon, man, that one is never going to leave again. Do because of the hurt and the pain, but once again, that he knows the Father's love.
Yes.
So that's Isaiah 53:5. But back to the story, I just want to edify and to know that God is on the throne and that,
amen.
And to edify who he is because he's here. He's an omnipresent God. He's everywhere.
Amen.
You know, he's outside right now ministering because I know he can hear. But it was supposed to be a great day in this little small town, in a small world. But for this guy, it was a rough one. Not even knowing what he was getting into, This guy enters into the world without his mother, pretty much without his father. His mother died pretty much at the beginning of his life. After her death, the father, you see, was a good man, awesome man, but loved to drink, was an alcoholic. Led him to have a couple of strokes, would led him to be paralyzed in a wheelchair on the right side of his body. He was, no, I mean, the son now was hopeless and broken and stranded and soon a menace to society. 10 years later, after being in a coma and rehabilitation, things started, seemed like they were getting together. He started to recover and was able to get his family somewhat back together. His father's disability limited his mobility. This young man had to care for the needs of his father. He fed him, bathed him, and did what fathers usually do for their children. Not what children do for their parents. It felt better for this young man to huff gas, sniff paint in old garbage garages, and join a gang because the gang would watch out for him. The gang would give him the love that the father couldn't give him. The gang would provide for him, love him for who he was. Going and just because being in a gang, you would do the things that the gang wants you to do. Steal, do drugs, hurt people. Going in and out of juvenile detentions across the state was nothing new to this young man. A slap here, a slap there, wasn't nothing for him. School had to wait. This young man had to be, if he continued in baseball, he would still be playing baseball today. That was the desire of his heart. He played it. That was something he was good at. Now, his father now then was put on the back burner. You know what I mean? The only time that he needed his father was to re-up on drugs, meaning he wanted more drugs. He wanted more things. He wanted to act like the group that he hung around with, the one that loved him for him. The father couldn't play catch with him. The father couldn't throw a ball back to him, but the father would show up all the time to his games. The father still loved him for who he was, regardless. Things got worse. Gang violence was fun to him now. Gang activity was written all over the young man's face. He was now labeled as a gang member. He was charged for a drive-by shooting and grand theft auto, leaving the scene of an accident, leaving innocent bystanders very hurt badly, landing him in juvenile state prison, all caught in the web of sin, just getting worse. And we know what sin is. When a sin is full-grown, it produces death. In James chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then, when lust has been conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death." That's right. The death in this situation was his father now. I always say that killing two birds with one stone was what God did in this situation. God was doing something here, taking the young boy's income of money and his place of refuge, found himself roaming the streets now in a big city, attempting to support his drug habit was much worse than that was in his own hands. Now broken once again, this time he was able to think on his own. Some things had to give. Something had to change in this young man's life. Gang members were in prison. He was all alone. Dad is dead. Family, once again, was split all over the United States. The only love that came was from his father, and that was gone. This young man never experienced life, not at all. He now understood what homeless meant. He was left a gaping hole in his life, an emptiness that he never experienced before. It caused him to reflect on his life a little bit even closer now. He had been on the run from the law quite some time now. He made that decision to turn himself in to take care of that responsibility. I believe that was the best decision
this young man made in his life. Jail wasn't nothing new to him. It was a piece of cake, remember? He made up his mind that he was going to prison. The following months was a piece of cake, fighting, gambling for food, still getting high, but still in the picture. He's still getting high in jail. Court was coming up soon. As a matter of fact, that day came. The night before the court, a man came in to that his cell, mentioned the gospel. And this young man is now a man. And he was going to be set free tomorrow, that God wanted him to confess him as Lord and Savior over his life. This man was set free, and the other requirements to attend to the courts. But this man was set free that day just because that man said that God had a call on this young man's life. And that story was me. That story was me. And I can still remember that day to the fullest. I accepted Jesus as my Savior that day. I got saved March 27, 2002, because a man answered the call and came. He was wearing the same thing that I was wearing. And that man is in at the Christian Life Ranch to this day. The second phase of this program. God works together for good for those that are called and who love him. And we got to remember those last people say, oh, God works together for good. But we cannot leave out that last few words of God works together for good for those that love him and who are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
And he is a good God. We cannot forget it. Even let no weapon formed against him prosper. Any tongue set forth in judgment, thou shalt condemn. We can't leave those verses out. Do not add or subtract to the word of God. It's what the word of God says. And so, I want to say this, is that that's what took place in my life 13 years ago. It's been a long, hard walk, though. This was nothing nice in my life. I fell, though. You know what I mean? Nobody's perfect, not righteous. There's not one that is righteous. No, not one, is what Romans says. Romans' road to salvation. And I'm leading this to this way. Because I believe that there's one. And so, through all of that, you know, I was an outreach pastor for Phoenix World Outreach, which came out of Teen Challenge, which was once called Phoenix Inner City Church. I was an outreach pastor. I was a pastor's armor bearer. I was the outreach pastor's armor bearer. I was the music ministry's armor bearer. I was assistant pastor's armor bearer. I was the children pastor's armor bearer. I had this load upon my shoulder that led me to get stagnant. I stopped reading the word. I believe that the word is vital. I love that soap thing. I do that on a daily basis to edify people. You know what I mean? Scripture, observation, apply and pray. But I like to put prayer before the S. Because I like him to speak to me so I can tell me, oh, I'm a little frustrated, Lord. I'm a little irritated right now. I did not want to climb out of bed. You know? At 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, before I had to start. Because I believe that the way that you start something in the morning is the prophecy of your whole day. And the way that you finish something is the way that you're going to enter something.
Good.
And so that's what I believe. You know? And so, that soap is really, when she said that, I was like, yes! And I told her husband, I was like, dude, I do that every morning on Facebook. Yeah. And I do it. But God has me on the book of Acts right now. You know, because I believe the book of Acts. And so, there was something very strong on my heart. And I don't want to miss a mark. I got to pray for you. And I don't know why.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know why, but God does. He knows your heart. He knows how many hairs you have on the top of your head. And he knows the toenail to the bottom of your sole, of your foot, of your toenail. And so he loves you with an everlasting love.
Yes.
Jeremiah 31, 1 through 3 says he loves you with an everlasting love. Mm. And he's going to build you. He's going to draw you. And when he builds you, you're going to be rebuilt.
Oh.
He says, Isaiah 53:5, that by his stripes we are healed. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, Father. Yes. And then you know what else he says? He says in Isaiah 55 that his thoughts are not like our thoughts, and his ways are not like our ways. So is the heavens higher than the earth. So is his thoughts and his ways are much higher than ours. That his word does not come back void, but it accomplishes that why it was sent.
Amen, Lord.
And that word is for you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that your word is going to come forth, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, for this mighty woman of God.
Amen.
Father, we thank you, Lord God, even if it's just sowing into her, Lord God, because the Bible says that he who refreshes others will he himself be refreshed. So I thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to do, Lord God. And I thank you that, Father, you already started, Lord God. And Father, it will not be completed until the day of Jesus Christ, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for just the encouragement. And that's all it is. I ask that you continue to plant her tree by the rivers of water, whose fruit shall bear fruit in its season. Its leaves shall not wither. Whatever she touches shall prosper, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
And, that was good. And so,
amen.
He interrupted this whole thing. And so, but like I said, I failed. I was in charge of all those people. I got stagnant. I got hurt by a pastor. I put my trust in man instead of in God. Instead of reading the word, I replaced it with works. I started performing instead of, I'm going to do all this for Jesus. I'm going to do this for God. Instead of letting God work through me. I no longer work for Teen Challenge, but I work with Teen Challenge is a good example.
Amen.
I work for Teen Challenge, with Teen Challenge, grabbing the arm together as we go together. I don't go before them and say, I am Teen Challenge. I am Christ. I can do nothing without Christ. Yes. But with him, I can do all things.
Amen.
That's why Paul did all things, because he did it with him. He was beaten, he was robbed, he was stoned to death. All of those things, he did it. So when people say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, say, wait a minute. Are you taking it out of Scripture? Because you got to read the Scripture before it and after it. Because he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am content in every situation because I've been there and I've done it. Paul said. But through all that, I was broken. I was hurt from this pastor. Didn't know what to do. But I met my wife. I said, oh, yeah, I can do this. I took off. I went. I had to do what I had to do. And, you know what I mean? I met my wife. She was in a program, too, which was called Master's Commission. Sold out for Jesus Christ. I was sitting right there, like, with where Jeff is at, right? I would sit there and my wife was in the worship team, and she was sitting there. Hey, guys, don't look at my wife. That's what I would say. Don't look at my wife. That's my wife. I did that name and claim it thing. Yeah, that's my wife. I touch anything, that's mine. You get the desires of my heart. You know, but I don't really believe that. But I prayed her in. You know, I did something right. I asked God.
Yes.
And so, but I messed it up. I committed idolatry on my wife 2 years ago. I committed a long-term other relationship with this other lady. Conviction came. I confessed my sin. The Bible says that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. He says that he would do that. As long as I confess, I said, have it your way. My way kind of sucks. Have it your way. Just like she said, surrender is all things. Is everything. I surrendered my life back to him. But it was a wrong process because it hurt. I started hurting her even more. Started hurting other people. I started using drugs all over again. I started doing all these other things again. I got a call from a pastor and said, we've been praying for you. Are you ready? I said, yeah, I'm done. I accepted Jesus Christ back into my life. But this is where I wanted to get to. It's because there's some people here that are saved. Don't get me wrong. There's people here that are saved. Have accepted Jesus in their life as Savior. But they haven't made Him Lord over their life. In Hebrews 10:9 it says, but that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Don't just make Jesus your Savior, but make Him the Lord over your whole life. Okay, because Jesus needs to have complete control, not just parts. Not just a little bit here, a little bit there. He needs everything. And He had to break me again in order for me to come to the cross. And I had to cry and I had to weep. I had to get into the presence of God. He broke my legs. He put me on the opportunity again. The things that I didn't know that was in my heart, He had to replace it with love, peace, kindness, gentleness, long suffering. He had to break me again. And I had to be willing and I had to surrender everything. And that part of me, it freaking sucked. Amen. But you know what? Look at it now.
Amen.
I don't care what takes place in my life. All I care is about the work of God. I don't care about what people think. I'm not performing. All I am is doing what God wants me to do with Him and through Him. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is now than the latter. He don't look at what I am now, but He looks at what I'm going to be.
Yes.
And I'm trying to see that, but it's hard. So I went through the program, there's induction, then there's induction, and then there's a Christian Life Ranch, and then it's a long process to get to the end of the road where I'm at. But there's restoration. Teen Challenge is not just for the induction students, people to come, but it's also for the broken that have been hurt in ministry, that lost loved ones, that lost a place in their ministry's life, that they had it, but they just didn't get a grip on Jesus Christ. They had their eyes focused. They just tend to put it off a little side. So I have one more testimony, and then I want to do the skit. But I really thank you for listening to my testimony, and I hope it encouraged you. I hope that God did work through me, because I don't want to do nothing apart from God, because everything that I do on my own is vanity. I want to do everything with Him. He's the anchor of my soul. Yeah. He holds my ship down. Yeah. He's my Lord. Amen. He is my father and my mother. In Psalms 27:10 it says, if your mother or your father forsake you, it's the Lord that takes you up.
Yeah.
And then in Jude chapter 1 verse 24, only one chapter, but it says that He is able to keep me from stumbling. And to keep me blameless in His sight.
Amen.
In His wonderfulest glory.
Amen.
And so I just want to share that with you. And that's my life verse. Jude 24 is my life verse. I advise you to have a life verse. Quote it and let that scripture come alive to you. We were talking about the word is alive and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. First, the word is the word. That's one side of the sword. And then the next edge is your mouth. You confessing it. That's the analogy that God has given me, because it's two edges. He wants to cut, then you cut. Work together. But I have one more testimony. It's Jeff. He came into the program and he went into the restoration. The same thing. And I have a heart for restoration. But I also have a heart of induction too. You know what I mean? But I still have the heart of the whole enchilada. But I just want to call Jeff and share a testimony. And during that,
God's good, amen.
Amen.
My name is Jeff Olmsted. I'm born and raised in Arizona. Kind of got a long story, but I'm going to give it, you know, fast, quick story. I grew up in a broken home. My father went to prison for 21 years when I was 9 years old. He used to abuse my mom. You know, my mom's greatest mother I could ever ask for. I didn't go without anything, me or my brothers. But at a young age, I started hanging out with the wrong people, tried to be just like my father because I thought I should look up to him, even though I didn't see, you know, where his heart was. And well, anyways, long story short, when I was 17 years old, I was convicted as an adult, got sentenced to 5 years, Arizona State Prison. I got out when I was 22 years old, ended up meeting a girl, had a kid with her. For the first time, you know, I decided, you know, I'd try to do something to have a better life. And I went through a different program, actually, with Armando back there back in 2005. And that was the first time I didn't give God a shot. I kind of used it as, you know, my doorknob's a higher power, you know what I mean? I was unwilling to give God everything. So long story short, 2009, I end up catching a case to where I'm looking at the possibility of 60 years max or 30 years minimum. Once again, like most people, we get on our knees and we cry out for help. And even though when things are going good, it's my doorknob, but when things are bad, it's like, Lord, I know you're up there, please help me. And long story short, he ended up showing up and showing off like he always does, but this time he gave me revelation in the fact that, hey, he is there, he's got a calling on my life, and he was going to once again pull me out of the mouth of the fish. But this time he wanted me to throw everything aside and follow after him. Well, long story short, I graduated in 2011, got a little bit of Jesus, and said, all right, I'm going to put you in my pocket. I got this. Had a couple bumpy roads. Now the United States government has labeled me as an active white supremacist gang member. That was my wake-up call this time because I didn't set off doing the same things. I wasn't doing drugs, but I was hanging out with the same people. And I started going down a road that I didn't even see was in front of me. It just, like, everything I touched turned into the total opposite of what I intended it to be. And God gave me revelation in the fact that he, remember when I got you out of your mess? I said, turn from all your old ways and follow me, and I'll give you life in abundance. If you want this, you can have this. And he gave me revelation of where it was going to go. I broke right then and there, and I got on my hands and knees, and I started to cry out to him again. I said, I'm sorry. I picked up the phone. I called Teen Challenge. And this is 3 years after I graduated. Humbled myself, called Teen Challenge, and I said, I'm on borrowed time. And it was never my time to borrow. And he told me, we're full. And my heart dropped. I got off the phone, and I started crying out to him. I said, you need to open doors only you can open and close the ones that only you can close. I'm done running from you. I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this. I want to have a better life. What do you want me to do? You got to do this. The very next day, the same man that told me they were full called and said, can you be here Friday? And this was on a Tuesday. And I said, I don't know how I'm getting there, but I'm getting there. I'll be there. You know, and I'm from Sierra Vista, so it's an hour and a half from here. So, you know, amen, I'm here. I've been in the program for about 4 months. And like James said, you know, a lot of us know Jesus Christ is our Savior. The difference now in me is he is my Lord. And I know that there's nothing else outside of him. So.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside quiet water. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
That was just an analogy of what the students go through, of what we go through. Not just Teen Challenge and the students in Teen Challenge, but that's what we go through on a daily basis. It's not our fault in the beginning. It's not our fault, but in the long run, he still paid the price.
Amen. Thank
you, Jesus. He still paid the price.
Thank you.
With every head bowed and every eye closed. If there's somebody in here, even if there's not, but I believe there's just at least one that needs to accept Jesus, not just as Savior, but as Lord, to give it their all, not just 100%, but 110. God gave 150 at the cross. He gave abundant and more. We know that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond that we can even imagine or fathom. And if there's just one in here, it's just that one, I don't want to make a public spectacle of you or anything. If you could just come up and just accept him for who he is. You can come forward. Now even if you know Jesus, just as don't even know him, but you had the call today, don't miss the mark. For tomorrow, the Bible says that tomorrow ain't promised to anybody. Trust in him. Trust in him. The Bible says that he dances over us with joy. The Bible says the Holy Spirit draws. So the Holy Spirit is drawing you. Come on. Come on. Father, I thank you for the two guys right here, Lord God. I thank you for the guy on my left, Lord God. The guy on my right, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that they answered the phone, Lord God.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you, Lord God. Father, we thank you that in Jeremiah 29:11, that you have a plan and a purpose and a hope and a future for these men, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that you called them by name, Lord God. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you have their names written in a book, Lord God, right now, Lord God. And that their name cannot be erased, Father, scribbled through, Lord God, but it's written in the blood of Jesus, Lord God, that takes the place of lambs and goats, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're on the throne right now in their heart, Lord God. They make you the Lord, Lord God. And if everybody with me can say, in Jesus' name, we pray.
We pray
for you, Lord,
to be the Lord
over our life.
Not just Savior,
but Lord.
The Lord
of Lords
and the King of Kings
is in my heart.
And the Savior.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord.
What'd you think?
Awesome.
I was so glad it finally worked out. We saw each other in February, and then because of our March, you know, things that were happening, we couldn't have them until April. But I was glad that it worked out for April. And it was worth the wait, totally and completely. Yeah. So, but thank you so much. Does that not speak to all of us, doesn't it?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And haven't we had that? And many of us have been in a situation or similar where Daniel's at right now. And so I want you to know I was kind of patting myself on the back because I did remember his name, but I'm so bad at names, so I thought I better not say it. I better just ask first. But it would have been that 50-50 where I would have done it the right way this time, so I should have gone for it, but I didn't. So in the jail ministry, what I love having is Fred Bear. Many of you remember Fred Bear, and he's like really good at remembering the names. And last time we had like 20 women in the chapel service, and he remembered all but three, I think it was. And I was like, oh, if I could just carry you everywhere, I'd remember names. But what's awesome is we know one who remembers our name, who knows our name totally, completely, even if we do a name change. Mm-hmm. He knows our name.
Amen.
Do you know that today, that in the book of Malachi, in the last chapter, it says that those that are of the Lord spoke about the Lord, and everything they talked about was written in a book for a day of remembrance. So what takes place now, and when you guys are in here, even with a husband and a wife, they're talking about the Lord, that is written in a book. And that's written in the Old Testament, but it doesn't matter. It's still the Bible. So far, it's 66.
That's right.
And so what happened today was written in a book for remembrance.
Amen.
So way up there, I remember that day.
Amen.
So I apologize. When I sent out the email, apparently I put on the wrong date. I said this coming Sunday, but I put the 21st. So I didn't find that out until this morning. So obviously they're here. And what I had said on that email was that we were going to do a love offering at the end for Teen Challenge. Do we just make, can they make the checks? Like, if they have the check, can they make the check? Okay, they can make it to Teen Challenge. If you want to make it to Pathway of Hope, but put in the memo, Teen Challenge, we will have a, okay, we'll do, our treasurer will do a total check to Teen Challenge if you want to do it that way. So you have your choice. And then if your address is on there, Teen Challenge would obviously get you,
And we also have a banquet coming up in Yuma.
Okay.
I know it's 4 hours away. We know it's a pretty long drive. That's how some of the guys hear about the program, is the banquet. Mm-hmm. We have sponsorship. The tickets go $27 a seat. And then for a table, like a family, is 8 chairs. It's $216. Feel free to help in that way, too, as well. Even the sponsorship of a chair or a table would be great.
Okay, cool. All right. Awesome. So, you know how I'm usually during the other offering time, I'll lead us in an a cappella of usually a hymn. I'll sometimes then include the hymn history in the message. But I didn't do that today. But we all know Amazing Grace.
Yes.
So while we're doing this love offering, let's sing Amazing Grace.
As long as I can.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now one of my favorites is just singing it, but just with praise God.
Yes.
Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Truly, thank you. Debbie, I'll have you look at this. Okay, and then if we have to, okay. And then we'll do that. Okay. All right, in the check. Okay. Got that? So, Heavenly Father, we truly thank you and praise you for Teen Challenge being here, Lord God, today. And Lord, I just praise you and thank you for the testimonies we heard from Jeff and Brother James. And so we just ask and pray that you will continue to bless Teen Challenge. These offerings are given in love, Lord God, to you and in honor of you, because we know the lives that are changed, the lives that are touched through Teen Challenge. So we just ask and pray that you all multiply it, and bless the givers too, Lord. We just thank you and praise you for this time together, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know what I forgot to do is I forgot to, can I borrow your Bible? Can you give me my reading glasses? I forgot to get my reading glasses. And can I borrow your Bible? Number 6. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I have it the amplified way, but that's in my other Bible, and that's at home. Oh, no, try it. So I'll do it the unamplified way, but I might just amplify it up. Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. You remember how the Apostle Paul, you know, knelt and prayed for everybody? And that's the way I like to do it. But I tell everybody that if they want to, you know, put out like as if you were receiving a gift, go ahead and do it. If not, you know, you can do it however you want. But I just want you to receive this benediction in prayer. Heavenly Father, I truly thank you and praise you for your holy word, that it is alive and true. And Lord, I claim your holy word, Lord God, for each and every one. As I pray this blessing upon each one, Lord God. And we are going from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Oh, wow. What a beautiful benediction, as this was Aaron's benediction, Lord. But I am not Aaron. But Lord, I do love you. And I thank you for Pathway of Hope. And I thank you for these brothers that came from Teen Challenge, Lord. I thank you that we are all one church body, those who are believers, who have Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Around the world, Lord, we are one. And I truly thank you for that. For those here, Lord God, I claim this and pray it over them. May you, Lord God, bless each one. May you keep each one. May you watch over. May you guide and protect each one, Lord God. May you make your face to shine upon each one.
Yes.
May you be gracious, kind, yes, caring, giving, blessing to each one, Lord God. Lord, may you lift up your approving countenance,
yes,
upon each one. And may you give each one here your peace. Your peace that surpasses all understanding, that guards each and every one of our minds and our hearts in and through Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior. Your peace that the world does not give. That is the peace that I pray that each one will have with them each and every part of each and every day and night. Lord, I thank you and praise you for your love for us. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.